Keith Humphreys. Welcome to the Fly Longer podcast. We hope at the end of this presentation, you'll be encouraged to take your next right step in your walk with Jesus. Enjoy.
Morning, Fly Church. I welcome you to this service today. My name is Zach Chipangui. I serve as one of the leaders here at Fly Church, and I serve in the Creative Hub. And today we're continuing in our series, Now You See Him, which we're taking a journey in the book of Exodus. And today we're going to dwell in Exodus 16, where we're going to read a story of how the children of Israel were led into the wilderness. My sermon is going to be titled, When God Seems Absent. When God Seems Absent. So the sermon itself is starting from chapter 16, verse 1 to 15. But I'm not going to read the whole passage because of time. I'll encourage you to read it on your own. But today I'm just going to read starting from verse 1 to 3. So Exodus 16, starting from verse 1 to 3, it says, "The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day, on the second month after they had come out of Egypt, in the desert, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, 'If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death.'" Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word today. Thank you for each and every person that is here. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you open our hearts and our ears so that we can hear you ever so clearly. It is in your name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen. Have you ever felt in your life that God is absent? Or maybe felt in your life that God is silent, or maybe he's distant or far away from you? I felt that this week. When Pastor Humphreys invited me to come preach about 2 weeks ago, he gave me the passage, and I went to a Bible college, so you learn how to prepare a sermon. So when I got home, I read the passage, wrote down some notes, and then when the time came for me to start preparing the sermon, first day, nothing came. Second day, I read the passage again, started writing some notes, but nothing came. Third day, same thing happened. And then on the third day, I was frustrated, and I just left my Bible and my notes, and I was gone and started doing some other things. And then while I was at it, God just reminded me of this passage and how the children of Israel were handling themselves. So they had been delivered. Last week, Dali talked about how they were in Mara. Their water, which was bitter, was turned to sweet water, and they could drink it. But just right now, they have forgotten everything that has happened and started to grumble just because they were hungry. And it reminded me of myself as well. I was forgetting of how God has used me previously and started to complain and grumble because at this point, I felt like God wasn't speaking to me. Sometimes in our lives, we'll face times where God will seem like he's far away from us. But what do we do in those situations? One thing I want us to remember, if you don't remember anything from this sermon, one thing that I want us to remember is this. In the times that God seems distant from us, he is carefully crafting something that is tailor-made for your situation or the season that you're going through. When God seems distant, he's crafting something that is tailor-made for you and the situation that you're going through. This also reminded me of the times that we're in. I remember when COVID just started, a lot of us were thinking that this is a Western thing, Malawi is not gonna be affected that much. And then the numbers started to spike. And then we started to feel it. And then we started to grumble because, oh, my graduation is not gonna happen. Oh, the wedding is not gonna happen. And then we started to compare. We were like, oh, 2019 or 2018 was better than 2020. And now we're saying, oh, 2021 is the worst. We started to compare. And we also started to point fingers. Oh, if they never brought these people back home, maybe we could have had less numbers. Or if this person had done this thing, maybe something would have happened differently. And we started to see numbers spike up really, really high about 6-7 weeks ago. And I know some people might have actually thought that, God, is this it? Are we gonna die here? Is this the end of everything? But in all these things, God is crafting something tailor-made for the season that you're going through. And in this passage, I want us to look at three ways that God responded to the children of Israel. Three ways that God responded to the children of Israel. The first way that God responded to the children of Israel is by listening. God listens. And we can see this in verse 4. So the children of Israel, interestingly enough, they didn't actually pray to God. They were just complaining. And God still heard them complain and grumble. So God heard them, and he told Moses and Aaron and said, I heard the children of Israel were grumbling or complaining, and this is what they wanted. And God actually listened to them grumble and complain. There have been many times that I have grumbled and complained as well, and God still came through and provided whatever I needed. There are times where life is so hard, you can't even find the words to pray. And God even listens to the cryings of your heart, to the troubles of your heart. And in this passage, we see that God is listening to the children of Israel, even though they didn't pray. Imagine if we actually went to God in prayer more than we actually complain. Because most of the times we find ourselves complaining so much. I don't like this job. I don't like living in this country. God, why don't you change this? Why don't you change that? We are complaining more than we are actually praying. But maybe in the times where God seems absent, he's calling you and I to spend more time in prayer, because he is a God who listens to us. Maybe he's calling us to go to him in prayer so that he can listen from the depths of our hearts. God is waiting for you to call out to him so that he can listen to your prayers. Maybe it's a problem of the posture of our hearts. Maybe we don't want to align our hearts to what God's will is. So we want to do things in our own way and not the way God wants it to be done. But God is waiting for you. God is a listening God. I know there's a passage that says, even if you human parents who can be asked by your children for a fish and you give it to them instead of giving them a snake, what more would God do? So first thing is God listens. God listens. The second thing is God speaks. We see that in verse 6. God speaks. So when Aaron and Moses were told all these grumblings from the Israelites, God spoke to them. And he told them that, okay, this is what's going to happen. They need bread and they need meat to eat. What will happen is when they come out of their houses, they'll find dew. When the dew is dried up, they'll find flakes. Those flakes will be their bread, and it's going to be called manna. And they'll also find quail that they will eat as the meat. And one thing that fascinates me a lot is that God still speaks to us the same way he spoke to Moses and Aaron. He did two things. He spoke to Moses and Aaron, which are his people, and he gave them precepts. He gave them guidelines of what they need to do with the manna. If you read down the whole passage, you find out that manna would go bad if it was kept for a long time. So he gave them guidelines of how this manna is supposed to be preserved and everything that had to do with it. And it's the same thing with us today. God is still in the business of talking to us. He gave us his word. He gave us the people of God, our pastors, our bishops. But it is now to us to make room for God to speak into our lives. Many times you find yourself like what I did, being stuck in the routine of, oh, this is what I learned in Bible college and this is how I preach. So now you're expecting God to be speaking to you in that routine. You can't put God in a box. God can speak to you in any different way. We can't limit God to just speaking to you in one way. Or we can be like the children of Israel, where you're waiting for your Moses to come and speak to you. God is calling you to an intimate relationship with him. When Jesus died and when that veil was torn, that brought access between you and God, that you can come to God as your father and you can speak to him knowing that he's a father that listens to you. Maybe you're waiting for a Moses to come give you the word. Maybe you're waiting for a different man of God to come speak to you. But God is actually calling you to say, I'm willing to speak to you. I'm willing to listen to you. But what are we doing to cultivate that? Maybe some of us just wait for Sunday. That's the only day that we listen to the word of God, or we listen to him speak. And from Monday to Saturday, we're just living our life. God is calling us and say, maybe this time that you think that I'm absent, I'm trying to speak to you. Can you make room for me? You make room for everything else, Facebook, Twitter, watching the Premier League, but you don't make room for me to speak to your life. And now you're wondering how I'm sounding so absent. Maybe God is calling us to make room for him so that he can speak in our lives. And the third and final point is that God provides. And we can see that from verse 10. So God listens. He listened to them complain. And then God spoke to Moses and Aaron, gave them the guidelines of how everything should be done. And now God gave them a promise. He says, I'm going to bring their daily bread, and I'll also give them quail. When he made that promise, God followed up by actually providing for them. God provided for them in the best way that he could. Because, as I said before, any time that you feel like God is absent, he is crafting something special for your specific season and time that you're going through. The word provide actually comes from a Latin word called providentia. What providentia means is foresight or forethought. So what God basically did is, in his infinite wisdom, in his infinite knowledge, he knew that there'll be a time when the children of Israel will go through a dry spell. He knew that there'll be a time when they'll go through the wilderness. So in his infinite wisdom, God crafted manna for them for that specific time, for that specific season. I can even ask any of us here, none of us have woken up one day, walked out of our houses, and found manna just lying down everywhere. None of us. Because manna was crafted for that season and that time that the Israelites were going through the wilderness, when the Israelites are going through the dry spell. The second thing that we need to notice about manna as well is when the Israelites moved from the wilderness into the land that was fruitful, the manna also ceased. It continued to come. Why? Because God made it for that season when they were in the wilderness. Many times, God wants to provide for us. But what our heart's desires are, maybe are not aligned to what God's desires are. And then we find ourselves wrestling with God when we need to align our will to his will. Maybe God is trying to provide for you, but maybe what you want and what God wants are different. What if we aligned ourselves to the will of God? And he will craft something tailor-made for the season that we're going through. He will craft something that is tailor-made for our season. There were three responses that God had over the situation that the Israelites were going through. God listened to them, God spoke to them, and God provided for them. In this season that we're going through, and in this time that we're going through, how do we respond to the times that we think that God is absent, or when it seems that God is absent? I love the word seems, because when you say something seems like it, it just gives an impression of it. But God is never absent. God is actually always there. But what do we do when God seems absent? Do we lose hope and remain hopeless, or do we complain and grumble for the rest of our lives? Or does that prompt our heart to run to God so that he can help us, so that he can rescue us. Maybe there is something more. Maybe there's something more to the silence. Maybe in the silence, God is calling us to intimacy. Maybe there's intimacy in the silence. Maybe God is calling us to draw closer to him and cultivate a more intimate relationship with him in the silence. Maybe he wants you and I to draw closer to him in this time of silence, in this time that he seems absent. Today, I'll leave us with two questions that we can talk about in our growth groups or with the people around us. And the first question is, where in your life are you failing to see God present? Where in your life are you failing to see God present? Maybe you can't hear him, maybe you can't speak to him, or maybe you can't align your will to his. Where in your life are you failing to see God present? And the second question is, what do you need to do to intentionally connect or be intimate with God? What do you intentionally need to do to connect or be intimate with God? Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for today. Thank you for this time of worship. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you help us to cultivate an intimate and deep relationship with you, O God. For I know that you want to speak to us as your children, O Lord. I pray that you help us to be people who are seeking your face, who are constantly at your feet, trying to learn from you. It's in your name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen.
Time to listen to the Flalironge podcast. For more sermons, visit our website at flalchurch.com and don't forget to subscribe to the Flalironge YouTube channel and like our Facebook page. Stay blessed.